Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, where we talk about the small changes we can make in our lives, especially in areas of leadership, that'll make massive differences in our lives and the lives that we serve around the world. And blessed now to be in more than 170 countries listening. We're so blessed to be able to help you in your walk with God and your walk in leadership. Today, what an honor to have my good friend from Brisbane, Australia, Wilson Lim. Wilson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's a great pleasure for me to be here and joining you on your podcast.
Well, I'm honored to have you. I know you and I had Pastor Simon on here some months back, and we had a great time. It's great to have you, and look forward in the future for our future podcast with the two of you and talk about how you work together. So you are giving leadership to HIM. What is HIM?
Well, Hope International Ministries is really a family of churches, yes, and we're a church planting movement, disciple making, and we're all about the Great Commission. We truly want to help see the Great Commission come to pass, and we're just doing our bit.
And where you do it so well. I mean, I've been with you. I've been with your leaders in different parts of the world, and I'm blessed with what God's done.
Well, thank you.
Through you and in you, and also through Pastor Simon, all the others who served together. Mm-hmm. Talk about, if you would please, you're in Australia. Yes. But you grew up, if I understand correctly, in Malaysia.
That's
right. How did you get to Australia?
Well, it's a bit of a history, but my parents wanted me to study overseas. And I wasn't that interested, but because of some situations that happened in the education system, I decided, all right, I'm going to Australia. And I think God engineered all of it.
Sure. And you're looking back, you can see that. Often when we're in the midst of it, it's a bit tough. But when you look back, you say, oh, God was in that preparing the way.
That's right.
And you've been involved in many roles of leadership already. Talk about some of the areas of leadership you've experienced already.
Well, I started in high school. In high school was a time when I decided I needed to learn leadership.
Yeah.
And that's when I began to get involved in different roles in high school leadership. And I went on, I went to Australia. I became a Christian my first year.
Okay. Oh, you were not a believer when you were in Malaysia. Oh, interesting.
That's right. Although I had a bit of a church background because my mom used to go to church.
Okay.
And dragged me along.
I like to see that. Okay. So what other areas of leadership did you find yourself involved in?
Well, I got involved with campus para church in my uni years. Mm-hmm. I was leading a small group there. Mm-hmm. But I shifted back to the local church. And I got involved in small groups. I was involved in the student ministry.
Yeah.
And then in 1990, the founder of Hope International in those days challenged some of us. And my wife and I decided we're going to get involved in the church plant.
Okay.
And that's when very quickly I was appointed to be one of the elders in that pioneering church. And so we took responsibility for the student ministry, which we pioneered and grew that in our two and a half years that we were there.
Right.
Then after that, God had told us to go to Brisbane.
Okay.
So that's when my wife and I shifted to Brisbane and started the church there all by ourselves. So 1993, that's when we started the church in Brisbane.
Okay. And of course, you got involved in leadership roles in the family of churches, Hope International Ministries. How did that happen?
Well, I guess as our church grew, there was a pastor that was in charge of the churches in Australia.
Okay.
But he was struggling. And so he wanted to hand it over to me, and I was put in charge.
Okay.
And so I became responsible for about eight or nine churches then.
Really? And how old were you?
I would be 34.
34, responsible for churches all over Australia. That's amazing. What are some leadership lessons that you learned when you were young, growing up? Talk about some lessons that you learned that'll help, you know, those who listen to this podcast all over the world, hungry for God, hungry for more about godly leadership. What are some things you learned?
One of which is you just got to go out, stretch yourself, and learn. When I started in high school leadership, I knew zero. I knew nothing.
Right.
So we were just learning on the go.
Take a step, right?
Yeah, okay. Making a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But we learned, we grew.
Yeah.
And even in church ministry, that's when I just did things, and we learned as we were doing things.
So continue with your leadership journey. What happened? You and Simon, Pastor Simon, worked together for years.
Yes.
Talk about how that happened.
Okay.
Or what's next in the journey? Just give me the story.
All right. Well, in the family of churches, we were structuring for the international grouping.
Yes.
And Pastor Simon was one of the global elders.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as I said, I was responsible for Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was put under his responsibility. So I reported to Simon from then on.
Okay.
And then eventually they made me into a regional pastor. I think, I can't remember the exact date now, it's probably 2001, 2002.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And from there, I mean, I had to lead more and more churches eventually.
Sure.
And that was a challenge for me to grow and to learn from that.
Yeah. So you served under Simon Ang's leadership for years, of course. Now
yes.
You're giving leadership, he's serving with you. And we're going to have him on a podcast, separate podcast, and talk about how that works and how that happened and
okay.
all that. But just tell me a little bit more about... You became a leader in HIM in these different levels.
Yes.
Just talk to me a little more about if any things that you've learned in that process you'd want to pass on.
Well, quite a few things. I have to go back a little bit.
Please do.
Because before I was actually involved with church planning, I was in a church where I believe we had a very good pastor. His name was Richard Holland.
Oh, yeah.
And then also under Kevin Connor.
Yes.
And from Richard, I really learned about the pastoral heart. He was a great pastor. Great passion for God, passion for people, and the supernatural. And then under Kevin Connor, I learned so much about the Word of God.
He was your pastor?
Yes. He married me, actually, Kevin Connor.
Really?
He married, yeah.
You know, he was bigger than life to us because we're here on the East Coast of USA.
Yeah.
We'd read his theological books.
All right.
Many of the things we believe today, we've learned from Kevin Connor.
Right, right.
It's amazing, huh?
Yes, it's amazing. I was saying I learned from both of them. I picked up a lot. And then when I came under Hope, we were under Kransat Chariwongsa.
Right, right.
And those were the days where I really learned about apostolic,
okay.
about being bold, about being strategic.
Yeah.
So there's a whole new level that built upon those two foundations, which was
okay.
really about the pastoral and the word. Those I learned from my former pastors.
Okay, so as you walk through the leadership journey, somewhere you learn how to build teams because you can't do leadership well without team building.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, I eventually began to read books. I mean, John Maxwell and all those different books. And I'm a very analytical person.
Sure.
So I absorbed the concepts, the theories, and I started applying them and seeing where it works, where it didn't work. And I evaluated myself constantly. I'm picking up, say, I dealt with this person this way and it worked. So I said, that's good.
Sure.
Or I did something with somebody else and that's not working. That I could see that in the expression or the way they responded to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of trial and errors, but because I guess I was analytical, I was always trying to pull things together, figure out what is the better way of doing things.
Yeah.
And I think I came to my own when we pioneered the church in Brisbane. That's when I had to do everything with my wife. That was it.
Right.
And
right.
so if
right.
I did something wrong, you could see the immediate results. If I did
you
something
blame
right,
anybody else because you made the decision.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's the way that worked. Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. So, other leadership lessons that you would learn, what would they be? I mean, you mentioned teamwork, that's one.
Yeah.
Just taking a step of faith and realizing that you need God and he's one that leads you. Other leadership lessons that you've learned that would be helpful to our friends throughout the world?
To me, I think one of the most important is our heart.
Mm.
I realize that our heart influences everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had insecurities or bitterness...
That's good.
Or you know, even attitudes, let's say, I don't really, maybe I don't love people enough and I'm just seeing that, well, you're just an asset for my ministry.
Right.
All those heart conditions, it yeah. really impacts the way you lead your life and your ministry. Mm-hmm. And I found that if my heart is not quite in the right place, it filters what God is trying to tell me. I've worked with people and it's like, we both heard from God, but yeah. why are you hearing it so differently?
Right,
know?
Right.
And why are you responding to it so differently?
Yeah.
And those are things I thought through. And I realized it's like wearing spectacles and I'm wearing spectacles.
Right.
If I've got spectacles that are not focused properly, mm-hmm. I may be looking at the same thing. God may be trying to show me something, but I filtered it. I couldn't see right. the details.
Right.
Or maybe the color is off. I've got the wrong nuance in it. So I really discovered I got to get my heart in the right place before God.
It's really good.
It's like, I think in Jeremiah, mm-hmm. where the vision God gave him about the potter right. molding the clay.
Right.
And I've come to realize I need to have a soft heart so that God can mold mm-hmm. me the way he wish. Mm-hmm. And I told some of my leaders, in such a way that you can literally see God's fingerprints. I think that's the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. If God, you can see God's fingerprints on our heart. If I really want to resonate God's heart, I've got to have a soft heart.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I'm unyielding in certain areas, you got the lumpiness uh-huh. and it just comes up different. So I think that's one of the most
amazing.
Challenging lesson I've learned and trying to keep that sort of a heart before God.
It's a heart issue.
Yeah.
For everyone listening, if you want to know more about Wilson Lim, HIM, check out the show notes. And again, there'll be some key points on there that could help you for the future as we continue this podcast here today. So I meet lots of younger leaders throughout the world. And, you know, often they'll say, what's the one thing that you've learned, or two things you've learned, or three things you've learned that made all the difference in your life? You know, I'm 72 now, and I started leadership back in my early 20s, late teens. What would you say to a young person who comes to you and says, and would say that, would ask you that, what yeah. is it that you've learned about leadership that's helped you?
I think it's perspective is one of the most critical ones. I think if you just want leadership for leadership's sake, then,
right.
then you're probably on the wrong horse, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think I came because I want to make a difference.
Right.
I'm not into leadership for power, position, authority. It's right. just I want to make a difference.
Right.
And I discovered leadership is one of the key aspects I got to grow in mm-hmm. so that I can make a difference. Mm-hmm. So I think I've seen leadership as a means, a tool towards being able to make a difference.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, rather than, you know, that's the right. thing I want.
Right. And I think the last time I saw you, if I remember correctly, may have been in Germany. I'm not sure.
Yes.
I remember your wife was with you.
That's right.
And she's very prophetic. And the two of you really work together well. I watched that.
Okay.
Talk about how does that work? How did you and your wife work together? Obviously, you would see things differently. Your giftings, your callings are different. And yet we have the mind of Christ. Not I have the mind of Christ. You know, together we have the mind of Christ. That's mm-hmm. a real key to leadership and teamwork. Talk about how you and your wife work together. What does that look like?
Well, before I said I need to explain a little bit about the journey.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is I didn't know how to work with her in the early days after we got married. There were times where we had disagreements. And I realized after some of those disagreements, as I said, I analyzed.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I said, I think I'm making a big mistake here. I'm trying to make my wife like me.
That is a mistake.
Oh, big one. So that's when I realized I can't, because I'm meticulous. I think through a lot of things.
You do.
Yes.
You're more analytical, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm slower.
Okay.
I take twice as long to cook as she does. She's more of a choleric. She's yeah. very fast. Chop, chop. But she doesn't dot the I's across the T's.
All right.
When she says it's done, I look at it. It's not done.
Yeah. yeah.
That's like 80, 90% done in my yeah. eyes. So I was trying to get her to be more like me. And it obviously wasn't working. And that was when I realized, I said, no, I think I made the mistake. And I begin to realize, hey, my wife is so good at certain things, which I'm not strong in.
Yeah.
So I rather let her to get something started. She gets 80% done. And if I'm not happy, I'll come and I'll tidy it up just a little bit more. And that flowed on to understanding our giftings. So I realized my wife has always been the more spiritually attuned. Right. She's always been the one that will hear from God, see visions and all these things. While I'm the one that will figure, analyze the situation,
right.
structure it, manage it, organize it, work out the theology of it.
Right.
So that's when I begin to realize, hey, she's got tremendous strengths, which I don't have. And I've got strengths, which she don't have. And if we could just pull it both together, mm-hmm. that would be incredible. And that began a journey.
Okay.
Where we begin to do that more and more. And I think we come to a point now after many years of marriage where we've learned how to leverage off one another's strengths. Mm-hmm. It's become quite, I would say, natural to us now.
Right. Mm. Talk to me about Hope International Ministries today. Mm-hmm. So you and Pastor Simon and others lead together this global movement.
Yes.
Like, how many nations are you involved in? Just talk a bit about that and what that looks like today.
Okay. Well, if you just look at our conventional churches,
right.
we are in at least 39 nations now.
Wow.
And we have almost 800 conventional
that's
churches.
Amazing.
We do have house churches as mm-hmm. well, but that's a little bit so organic. I wouldn't put a figure to it at
sure.
this point.
Sure. Yeah. And then so you work with leaders all over the world, you and Pastor Simon, who are close
yes.
together, and our mutual friend Dennis also involved with you on the team. And how does that work? How do you oversee leaders all over the world? That's a lot of nations. That's a lot of people. How do you do that?
Well, I think we're very grateful that we have a second rung that's been very strong.
Okay.
And counting us, because all of us, we also lead a region. We're broken up into regions.
Right.
And regions are not rigid.
Okay.
There's some flexibility, there's overlaps.
What do you mean by that?
Let's say we have two leaders who work in Africa.
Okay.
And one of the leaders, he does oversee churches in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And the other leader who also oversees parts of Africa also has people that he relates to in
okay.
Kenya.
Okay.
So to us, relationship is more important
okay.
than the geographical boundaries.
Okay, that's really good.
So we've allowed that.
Yeah.
Although it can get a bit messy,
mm-hmm.
but for now, we've allowed that because it seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think relationship makes a huge difference.
You know, I'd rather have the scriptures talk about, you're like a barn that's messy, you know. You have mm-hmm. oxen in the stall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good sometimes to understand some of leadership is a bit messy.
Yes.
But if you build by relationship first,
yes.
and obviously we need structures and all that, but mm-hmm. really it's relationship with God and relationship with others. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
It's not a corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family structure.
Yes.
And the church is family, of course. You know, the tribe that you're leading with the team, the tribe that I'm privileged to lead, the Dove International tribe, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, there were 12 tribes in Israel. There are many tribes today.
That's right.
And what I find the great blessing is when leaders of tribes, so to speak, can really walk together, honor one another.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean,
you do that well. That's been your heart for years, as long as I've known you and Pastor
Amen.
Simon and others
yes.
and your movement. That's been your heart to do that. In
mm-hmm.
fact, obviously, you're here in Pennsylvania right now. We were just yesterday in Baltimore, Maryland, with leaders of 8 different movements.
That was an incredible time.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah, mm-hmm. just learning from one another and realizing that probably a lot of the issues we deal with, others are dealing with the same thing, you know. There's nothing new under the sun, but just that way of walking together
yeah.
and learning from one another and one another's strengths and resourcing one another's weaknesses is just a really, really, really powerful
yeah.
thing.
So right now we have about 11 regions. We've broken
okay.
up 11 regions. And so we, the three of us elders, we each are responsible for a region as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we oversee the rest in different ways. So
yes.
they are the ones that do a lot of the late work.
Yeah.
So we don't try to visit
yeah.
all the churches.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I just really honored you and Pastor Simon so much because of the movement that you're leading could have gone to nothing, you know, way mm-hmm. back in the day. And
yeah.
and a few of you jumped in and said, we're going to obey Jesus. And it was hard, but and you now have a healthy tribe in the kingdom today. It's wonderful to walk together with you. Let's talk about mistakes. Most leaders make mistakes. If they're honest, all leaders make mistakes.
Yes.
Anything you would do differently as you look back? You look back and think, that was a mistake. I should have done that differently. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, one of my mistakes was when I first became the leader of the churches in Australia.
Right.
I made the mistake of assuming that most of them probably are like me. in that, I had the expectation that they were resilient.
Yeah.
You see, the previous leader did not provide, he provided minimal pastoral care and guidance to us. And we just went for it. We just grew the church. And I made the mistake assuming most of the others would be very similar.
Right.
But I was obviously wrong. And I kind of neglected the pastoral care side. Of course, about, just to explain that a little bit, I had a very young family. Mm-hmm. When I took over, my second child was born that just a couple of months before.
Yeah.
And so I was busy. My wife was very busy. And so we didn't have enough time. But I also made the mistake of neglecting that aspect. And so I had a bit of blowback and I had to learn to sort it through. It took me a few years to work that out with them.
Yeah.
I even had to explain to them, I said, look, I have to tell you the truth. I'm not actually a very, very pastoral leader. That's not my style, you know. Mm-hmm. So we had to come to a mutual understanding. And I had to adjust. They had to adjust to me as well. So I tried to be more pastoral. And actually, my wife's incredible. She's very fantastic pastoral person.
Uh-huh.
But in those early years when we had, you know, we had a second kid, little baby, she was just not quite available.
I think most leaders have made that mistake. I know I did.
Okay.
I thought everybody thinks like me. And when I realized they didn't, I was shocked. I thought, how can you see this? You know, of course you think like me. And I think I've come to the conclusion that each of us have our own leadership style.
Mm.
And we should not push that style on somebody else. We can be open about this, how we lead, but then learn to resource our weaknesses. And I think you've done that well. Yeah. You find others who do things better than you do them, and then have them do the things that give them energy, give them life.
Yes.
And then work as a team together. And then not move too fast in making decisions, but bring people with us.
Mm.
So decisions that are made are not just my decision, our decision, but it's a group decision together.
That's right.
And is there more you want to say about that?
Well, I think it helped me a lot that I gleaned from the wisdom of others, reading good books.
Mm-hmm.
It just opened my eyes to say, whoa, okay, they're talking about this sort of issues that I'm confronted with. And so I got to sit back and work that out. So, okay, how could I now, with that understanding, work with my team or the teams that are alongside me?
Right, right. Well, we're going to have you back with Pastor Simon Eng and Pastor Wilson. We're going to talk about your succession process and how that happened and what you've learned from that, maybe what you would do differently. We're going to have you back soon. And we're almost out of time, but is there anything else that you would like to share with leaders throughout the world who are listening to this podcast? Say, here's something that helped me that would also help you.
I think it's so important that we be clear about our calling before God. What is God calling me to be? Not just to do, but to be.
That's good.
I think sometimes as leaders, we just do our responsibility. But if you are not you're clear on your call and what you're meant to be, you're working out of performance rather than what you need to be.
That's
and it's so much easier when you have grown in and you're serving and doing out of what you have grown in. It's just so much more natural, much less stressful, much more, it's just the anointing of flow.
Yeah.
So much better when it comes out of that.
I totally agree. Sometimes the hardest person to lead is ourselves.
It's very true.
Yeah. Really. And if we learn to lead ourselves properly by the grace of God, we can then effectively lead others.
Mm.
So Pastor Wilson Lim, thank you for being on the podcast today. For all those of you who are listening to the podcast, check out the show notes. You can find out more about HIM, find out more about Pastor Wilson and things that God's done in his life and given him. And we look forward to seeing you back here.
Thank you so much, Larry.
It was so good to have you here. Thank you.
Blessings. God bless.
Tune in next week for the premiere of Season 3.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.